Also in New York, the city's preparing for the upcoming Republican convention, and there's trouble about demonstrators. The biggest protest group, United for Peace and Justice, says it expects 250,000 people they want to assemble in Central Park. The mayor, police, and Parks Department say no, because the crowd might ruin the park's great lawn. So, as Day to Day's Mike Pesca explains, a dispute once political and cultural now extends to the horticultural.
From the air, the most notable feature of Central Park is the Great Reservoir, which begins on 96th Street and stretches down 10 city blocks. Just south of that lies the Great Lawn, with its 13-acre oval complete with 6 softball fields and the grassy outfields connecting them. It is here that protesters want to assemble, as people have assembled in the past, for demonstrations like this disarmament rally, which All Things Considered covered in 1982.
Well, we haven't yet heard Pete Seeger sing. People are sitting patiently, but it's beginning to wind down, and yet when a march of this size and a rally of this size, when you have 500,000 or maybe 700,000 people, it winds down real slowly.
Perhaps the current conflict lies in a definition of terms. The protesters look at the Great Lawn and see the first definition of great, notably large in size. But the Parks Department sees other definitions of the word great, of outstanding significance or importance, first rate. They remember that it took 2 years and almost $20 million to restore the Great Lawn from what it had become.
The Great Dust Bowl.
Doug Blonsky is Central Park's administrator. He explains that millions of feet trotting across the Great Lawn killed it, but since 1997, New York has had a lawn whose toughness befits Gotham.
This lawn was designed to handle the impact of the 5,000 and more softball games, you know, a couple philharmonics and Metropolitan Operas, and all the hundreds of thousands of other people. This is probably one of the most used lawns right now in this country.
And still, the hearty blend of Kentucky bluegrass will be no match for the 500,000 feet United for Peace and Justice is predicting. According to Martin Petrovic, a professor of turfgrass science at Cornell and a consultant on the lawn's repair, the lawn is now at its most vulnerable.
The grasses that are there are called cool season grasses. That's at the end of the summer. They're actually at their lowest point of being able to take any kind of traffic. They've used up all their carbohydrates they store to be able to repair themselves. There's a good chance that all that grass would die.
Protest groups say the lawn survived over 80,000 people attending last September's Dave Matthews concert. Bill Dobbs, media coordinator of United for Peace and Justice, says that it's inevitable that some grass must die so that civil rights can breathe free.
Of course there's going to be some wear and tear on the lawn. This is really about the town common. And during the Republican convention, it happens to be the only spot where a really large crowd can exercise its right to assemble.
Or as David Klein, national president of Veterans for Peace, put it,
"The Bill of Rights is more important to us than the grass in Central Park."
The city has offered a compromise space, the West Side Highway. But after United for Peace and Justice initially agreed, they returned to the idea of a Central Park protest, citing concerns about the lack of drinking water and transportation on the far west side of Manhattan. Doug Blonsky says there's another reason why the event can't be held in Central Park.
It's almost a physical impossibility to put 250,000 people into this oval. You know, literally, people would have to be right on top of each other.
The park caps Great Lawn gatherings at 80,000, but that's a little low, according to Dr. Farouk Elbaz, director of the Center for Remote Sensing at Boston University, which specializes in crowd size estimates.
4 feet per person for maximum packing. You will get, I think, about 160,000 people.
But 160,000 is still 100,000 fewer people than organizers are expecting. Protesters claim that the mayor is uncomfortable with the content of their protest. The Parks Department counters that they're allowing other, smaller rallies protesting the convention to take place inside the park. With fewer than 2 weeks to go, United for Peace and Justice has not yet taken the issue to the courts, though that is an option. When politics and protests are colliding, it's never over until the fat lady, or possibly Pete Seeger, sings. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.